Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence, all of you who are here with us in person, and those of you who are joining us online. I don't know if you can feel the energy in the air, but we have a very special Sunday today. Not only is it Reformation Sunday, we've got the red paraments and our red stoles, but it is Confirmation Sunday, and we are confirming four young ladies today. It's a day of great celebration. In that vein, the Fellowship Committee is hosting a celebratory reception following worship, so we hope that you'll stay and join us and greet these young ladies and celebrate with them. Last night, we had a fantastic trunk or treat event. After I went home, I kept reflecting on how smoothly it went, and I just want to say thank you to Anna Nelson for making it happen. Thank you. I also want to offer special greetings and thanks to our interpreter, Judy Thomas, this morning, and to our guest preacher, Pastor Tim Brown, who is also the Director for Stewardship for the ELCA. Thank you both for being here. We have a few things coming up this week. On Wednesday, the Fellowship Committee is meeting at 10 a.m. That's a typo in the bulletin. Worship and Music is also meeting that evening before choir, and the Cemetery Committee is meeting that next day on Thursday. We also have Bible study that evening. Next Sunday is All Saints Sunday, and I don't know if you've noticed, but in the holly leaf, there has been an opportunity to submit names of loved ones who have died in the past year. So, of course, we read aloud and names and light candles for all of our members who have died from November of 22 to October 31st of this year. But if you have friends or family, loved ones, you'd also like their name read aloud, a candle lit in their honor, we ask that you submit those names. We're going to extend it to one more day by the end of the day tomorrow. So go back to your holly leaves, click on the link, and submit the names of loved ones. Looking ahead to a couple of the Sundays in November, November 12th, so in two Sundays, the Fellowship Committee is hosting a breakfast to honor our veterans, but the whole congregation is invited, and so they ask for your presence at that breakfast to honor our veterans. And then in 3 weeks, the Scholarship Committee is hosting a luncheon and a silent auction and dessert auction to raise, oh, Joe's waving his hand. You got an announcement there, Joe?
Yes, November 19th is when we're doing the baked spaghetti after church. Regardless of whether you want to bid anything in there, please come and eat with us, because I believe we're going to have enough. But on purpose, we're not putting desserts out for you. Okay? If you want to eat a dessert, you're going to have to buy one. Okay? So, whoever we buy one, I want to get a straw to finish everything, and I'll take care of the rest. But we're doing that, also we're doing a silent auction, so if there's something, an object that you might want to donate or something like that we can put out next week, have tables and sheets for people to go ahead and start bidding on it all the way up until the 19th when we have that. So we've got a few ideas, like Jennifer and Mary are making some crochet crafts. And one of them is like a pecan tart or a pumpkin pie tart thing. I mean, it looks just like it. It comes in a little box there. So, but things like that. I haven't asked Mom yet, but I don't think this is going to be a problem with chocolate pie for man. We decided an option. We might be able to roll one of those out as well. So please, on the 19th, come hungry and support these kids.
Gaynell, I think you've been voluntold to make a couple of things. I know I would have. We have a few birthdays and baptisms to celebrate this week. Stephanie Hearn, Stephen Nelson, and Libby Carrick. No anniversaries, but Kyle Murphy, Lincoln Murphy, Brandon Conrad, and Joanna Wilson are celebrating their baptisms. And Cameron Cecil had his baptismal celebration just a couple days ago, but it didn't get in the bulletin last week. So we celebrate those baptisms. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. To bless this morning. One of the remarkable ministries that we have here at Holly Grove Lutheran Church is that our Agape Circle makes prayer shawls that we then bless in worship on Sunday mornings. Some folks knit and crochet, some folks give the gift of yarn, but we bless them to folks who are struggling in our community, in our families. And as you notice in the news these days, there's a lot of pain and suffering in the world. And I just want to lift up that a couple of folks in our community are grieving. Holly Curry lost her brother this week, and Max Carrick lost his best friend this week. So we have people in our own church family struggling. But this prayer shawl is for a man named Dwayne, who is dear friends with Todd and Amy Kepley. And he has a brain tumor that they just found this week. So we will bless this prayer shawl, and then we pass it around, and we let everybody lay hands on it and offer a brief prayer as well. God, we thank you for the gift of prayer, that you always hear us, the things that are on our minds, the things that are on our hearts. And today we lift up to you, Dwayne, who has just received a really difficult diagnosis. We ask that you would be with him and his family in the days and weeks and months ahead, that you would comfort him with your presence, and that as he feels the weight of this prayer shawl upon his lap or his shoulders, that he would feel the weight of our love and care for him here at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Stand as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who greets us in this and every season, whose love never fails, whose promise is sure. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned. We have hurt our community. We have squandered your blessings. We have hoarded your bounty. We have failed to be honest. We have lacked the courage to speak. we have spoken falsely. In the name of Jesus, forgive us and grant us your mercy. The triune God offers us boundless grace when we fail. Receive and live into the gift of God's mercy. You are freed and forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, gracious Lord, we thank you that your Holy Spirit renews the church in every age. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon your faithful people. Keep them steadfast in your word. Protect and comfort them in times of trial. Defend them against all enemies of the gospel. And bestow on the church your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I invite the children forward for a children's message with Pastor Tim.
Come on forward. Come on forward.
Good morning. Oh, treats. Excellent. As long as you brought some to share. Love that tie. Looking good. Come on, come on. I love that bow. I love those stickers, man. I have a couple tattoos myself. Good morning, everybody. How are we? Good, good. And we heard yes, good, right? Excellent. What holiday is coming up here soon? Yeah, man. Halloween. You're absolutely right. Halloween is definitely coming up first. There's another one that's coming up, though, that's just as cool. Okay, very good. Yep. Also up. I give you a hint. We're celebrating it today. We always celebrate you, my man. Yes, you're absolutely right. All right, listen. It has red in it. It starts with an R. Jesus, that's usually the answer. But not this time. It is Reformation. I know, exactly. Woohoo! Exactly. Anybody know what happened on the Reformation? It actually happened on Halloween night. So what happened is, Sawyer, can you reach in there and get that guy standing right there? Not that guy, the other guy. There it is. On Halloween night, 500 years ago, this guy, Martin Luther, nailed some thoughts to the church door for people to consider. And you see this Martin Luther right here? He nods a lot. The real Martin Luther would not have nodded a lot. He would have shook his head no, right? He said no a lot. But this Martin Luther nods a lot, and he had some questions about the church. What was the church doing? Why were we doing the things we were doing? Were we saying things that were of God, or were we saying things that we just thought up our own selves, right? And so this Martin Luther did that almost 500 years ago. But here's the thing about this Martin Luther. He's super solid, right? In fact, my cat has knocked him off a number of times. I know. And he doesn't break. He just won't break or bend. And that's how I know this Martin Luther is not the real thing. Sawyer, can you get the other thing that's in there? The real thing is more like this Martin Luther, who's made of Legos that they made for the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. And this Martin Luther is made of Legos, and I think this is more like the Martin Luther that we have today, because this Martin Luther can be taken apart and reshaped into something different. And that's what Reformation means. He can be into a good person, yes, exactly, and can be remade into a good person even if he messes up, which is what God does with all of us as we reform as well. So I have a secret for you that I want you to share, but I need you to be quiet. Come close.
To children's church with Anna.
From the 31st chapter of Jeremiah. The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. A covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, said the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of these to the greatest of these, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. Word of God, word of life. The psalm is Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be moved.
And though the mountains shake and the depths of the sea.
Though its waters rage and foam.
And though the mountains tremble with its tumult.
There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God.
The whole habitation of the Most High.
God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be shaken. The nations rage and the kingdoms shake.
God speaks and the earth melts away.
The Lord of hosts is with us.
The God of Jacob is our stronghold.
Come now, regard the works of the Lord.
What desolations God has brought upon the earth.
Behold the ones who makes war to cease in all the world. Be still then, and know that I am God.
I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.
The Lord of hosts is with us.
God of Jacob is our stronghold.
The second reading is from the third chapter of Romans. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For no human being will be justified in his sight by deeds prescribed by the law, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now, apart from law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed and is attested by the law and the prophets, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And now they are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood, effective through faith. He did this to show his righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he has passed over the sins previously committed. It was to prove at the present time that he himself is righteous and that he justifies the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of boasting? It is excluded. By what law? And by that of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that person in justified by faith apart from works prescribed by the law. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God.
Now Jesus said to the Judeans who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Well, they answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham, and we have never been servants of anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The servant does not have a permanent place in the household, but the Son has a place there forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Good morning, church. It's good to see you. I was back here at Transfiguration Sunday, way back when we were young and full of dreams, right? And so, wonderful to be back with you. I think I did a pretty good job of convincing those youth that Reformation is as exciting as Halloween. But I'm going to need you to back me up on that when you go home, okay? So get out your Martin Luther bobbleheads and your Lego kits and celebrate in big style today. I invite you to pray with me as we begin. Transform us, God, into the kind of people who transform others, who transform our towns, who transform our world. We'd ask you to do it for us, but then we'd never learn how important transformation is. So transform us and empower us and reform us. Amen. So I don't know if you remember last time we were together. My sermons are a little participatory, so when I ask a question, it's not rhetorical, okay? So I'm just curious, what are the movies that you are watching in this season right now, the season of October, of Halloween? What are the movies that you're watching right now? Nightmare Before Christmas. What's that? The new Haunted Mansion is really, really good. My boys loved it. Anybody else, Haunted Mansion? Hocus Pocus, what's that? Scream, yes, very good, Scream. Seminole, was scary when I was a kid. Still scary now. I still get scared at Scream. But we heard from our lovely accompanist, the one I'm thinking of right now, which is Hocus Pocus, right. How many of you make it a practice to watch the 1990 Disney classic? As my son Alistair would say, "Dad, that was made in the 1900s. Movie Hocus Pocus. How many of you watch it? Anyway, yeah? Right. St. Bette of the Midlers, St. Sarah Jessica of the Parkers, St. Kathy of the Najemis, the Sanderson sisters, they're the old witches of Salem. It's a seminal movie for people of my generation, and the sequel that just came out this last year is probably going to make it a seminal movie for my children's generation as well, though if you ask me, the sequel's not as good. We can talk about it later. The ominous phrase that is the pivot point of that movie, just as Max, who doesn't believe in the curse that will bring the witches back to life, takes out his lighter and holds it to the black flame candle, and he says to his sisters, "Oh, come on, it's just a bunch of..."
Hocus Pocus.
It's more exciting when he says it in the movie. Hocus Pocus. It's just a bunch of Hocus Pocus. The phrase tumbles out of the mouths of magicians, and it's thought to be a parody of the Latin said at the Catholic Mass. Did you know that? It's thought to be a parody of the Latin said at the Catholic Mass as the priest holds his, and it's always a his, unfortunately. But his hands over the bread to say, "Hoc est corpus meum." This is my body. Hocus pocus. Some historians believe that the priests around the time of the Reformation were so poorly schooled that they didn't even understand the Latin they were saying in the Mass. And so something like hocus pocus is what would come from their lips. And it's not hard to believe that it could be true. Our own blessed Martin Luther exclaimed on his visit to Saxony that both the people and the priests were so poorly educated and understood so little about the faith that something had to be done. It was all a bunch of hocus pocus. And this is how the small and the large catechisms came about, by the way. Martin Luther wrote it to teach priests how to learn. And teach adults how to learn. Teach in bite-sized chunks the essentials of church doctrine, primarily for use in the home. Maybe you four know something about those documents. Maybe some of us need a refresher. Hocus pocus is what you say when you forget what something is all about. And I dare say, beloved, that Reformation Day has become a whole lot of hocus pocus for the church. Because in many ways, including the ways that the 500th anniversary of the Reformation was celebrated across the world just a few years ago, it has become the celebration of an event, a historical event. I mean, I even have the little Martin Luther that came with it, right? This little Martin Luther Lego figure to commemorate it all, who I dare not open because one day he's going to make my children dozens and dozens of dollars if I keep him closed up. I mean, talk about the Disneyfication of something, right? We've turned the Reformation into a Disney movie, like Hocus Pocus. But that is not what this day is intended for at all. That is a bunch of hocus pocus. That's misremembering all of it. Instead, what today is about is the continual reforming that the Holy Spirit unleashes upon the world moment by moment, day by day, second by second. The Holy Spirit, when she is talked about in Scripture, is always talked about with an energetic metaphor that can't stay still, a descending dove, a wind that blows where it will, fire that dances and dazzles. If you're Irish like me, the Irish had a really beautiful way of talking about the Holy Spirit. They called her the wild goose. Dangerous, loud, always on the move. You dare not approach, but she'll come to you. The Holy Spirit, the shy person of the Trinity, is not content to cause something to happen, but causes happenings. Happenings all the time, over and over and over again. The Reformation was not when the church got it right, but when it got it a little bit better. And if we think that we got it right 500 years ago and believe the same things that we did 500 years ago, then we have not moved in the Spirit. We have not learned from the past. We have not taken Martin Luther seriously when he said, "Everything that is done in this world is done by hope." Everything that is done in this world is done by hope. Because hope, beloved, leans into the future. If he had believed that the church was done reforming, that the world was done changing, I imagine that he would have said, "Everything that is done in this world is done by conviction." But he didn't say conviction. Conviction does not move. He said hope. He said hope because that is a word that is always grasped at but never held. Hope is not something you hold, but something that holds you. You know, when Jesus tells the disciples to dwell in the truth and to be free, and they take it as an insult, "We've never been slaves to anyone," the Jewish followers say, except it's all kind of a joke, right? Because they were slaves in Egypt, and then they were slaves to the Assyrians, and then in Babylon and in Persia, and in the time of Jesus, they were under the thumb of Rome. That idea that they weren't servants, that they weren't slaves, had never been slaves, that was a bunch of hocus pocus. A forgotten truth, a misremembering of reality. And we who sit here, from the youngest to the oldest, I have a question for you. You don't have to answer. This is not as rhetorical, but something to think about. I'm just curious, what are you enslaved to? What are we in service to? I meet people all the time who are enslaved to fear. Fear of tomorrow, fear of people who don't look like them, fear of a future that they're not sure they want. I meet people all the time who are enslaved to an idealized past that never was. Enslaved in a toxic relationship. Toxic beliefs about yourself and about how you don't deserve to live. I meet people all the time who are enslaved to their job, to busyness. What are you enslaved to? unrealistic expectations? Your phone? Your phone? That's preaching to the choir. Not you, me. Never-ending emails? What are you enslaved to? Your calendar, your responsibilities, your secret addiction, your public addiction, your public anger, your dislike for people who don't look like you, or maybe you're enslaved to the idea that you're right all the time. Your politics, your religious beliefs, your opinions, let's be honest, you're usually right, right? Right? I know I am. What about the church? What is religion enslaved to? Holding on to the past? A fear of making people upset? A fear of shrinking or irrelevance? Budgets? Are we afraid of our budgets? Being a social club more than the hands and feet of Jesus? What are we in service to? What are we enslaved to? North Carolina, this nation, what are we enslaved to? Partisanship that gets deeper every day? An inability to honestly discuss anything because we're constantly raising money to get elected? So we rely on dog whistles and buzzwords and whatnot? Maybe we're a slave to violence. Have you seen the news? 18 dead in Maine, 13 injured. Hamas taking hundreds captured and massacring many. Gaza invaded and the children of Palestine. And beloved, we have to remember that 50% of the people who live in Gaza are under the age of 15. Children become collateral damage in a game of revenge. It's been going on for generations. What are we enslaved to? See, this is the thing. We are enslaved to so many things in this world. I get why it's kind of easy to slip into a hocus-pocus mentality, to forget what it all means. Because sometimes it feels like the meaning has been lost, that the Reformation is some sort of thing in the past that it won't take for the future, that transformation is moving backwards and we're spiraling rather than evolving. But listen again to the blessed Martin Luther. Everything that is done in this world is done by hope. So, do I really believe that the world can be and is being reformed? That the moral arc is bending towards justice and not chaos? That goodness is stronger than evil? I'm telling you, I do. I do. Because I believe that hope is not a bunch of hocus pocus. Or as Indian author and hope activist Arundhati Roy once said, another world is not only possible, she is on her way. On a quiet day, I can hear her breathing. For all of us, for all of you confirming your faith today, know this, hope is not misplaced memory and just something that we say when we've forgotten what to say. But rightly placed faith and a testament of love, hope is love. Love and who we can become by God. I believe that God is still forming and reforming through the Holy Spirit, and it starts here, and it starts at the font, as it did for all you little ones who are now not as little, but confirming your faith today. It starts here at the table where we hear that God's body is our body, which means that we can be a part of amazing things in this world. We can be a part of transformation. We can be a part of reformation. Hope starts here in the heart. It starts here in you. Another world is on its way, beloved. Can you hear her breathing? You know, Martin Luther was the most prolific writer of his time. We have volumes and volumes and volumes of his writings. We have volumes of him writing theological treatises and then volumes of letters that he wrote back to Katie, his wife, including one letter where she gave him a cure for eczema, which included rubbing donkey manure on his arms. And he wrote her and said, "That did not work." I'm serious. He wrote this. But other than everything that is done in this world is done by hope, these are the words that I hold closest to my heart from him. He said, "This life, therefore, is not righteousness, but growth in righteousness. Is not health, but healing. Not being, but becoming. Not rest, but exercise. We are not yet what we shall be, but we are growing toward it. The process is not yet finished, but it is going on. This is not the end, but it is the road. All does not gleam in glory, but all is being purified." And that, beloved, is not a bunch of hocus pocus. That's Reformation hope. Amen.
And I'd like to invite our four confirmands to join me at the font. And as they are joining me, I invite you to take your hymnal and turn to page 234. Not hymn 234, page 234. So this is going to be before all of the hymns begin. Dear friends, we give thanks for the gift of baptism and for these sisters, one with us in the body of Christ, who are making public affirmation of their baptism.
I present Madison, Isabel, Rosalie, and Gracie, who desire to make public affirmation of their baptism.
Let us. Merciful God, we thank you for these sisters, whom you have made your own by water and the word in baptism. You have called them to yourself, enlightened them with the gifts of your Spirit, and nourished them in the community of faith. Uphold your servants in the gifts and promises of baptism, and unite the hearts of all whom you have brought to new birth. We ask this in the name of Christ. Amen. Gracie, Rosalie, Madison, and Isabel, I ask you to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, reject sin, and confess the faith of the church. Do you renounce the devil and all the forces that defy God? If so, say, I renounce them. Do you renounce the powers of this world that rebel against God? If so, say, I renounce them. Do you renounce the ways of sin that draw you from God? If so, say, I renounce them. And congregation, I invite you to join us in professing the Apostles' Creed. Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. You have made public profession of your faith. I now ask you, do you intend to continue in the covenant God made with you in holy baptism, to live among God's faithful people, to hear the word of God and share in the Lord's Supper, to proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed, to serve all people following the example of Jesus, and to strive for peace and justice in all the earth? If so, say, I do, and I ask God to help and guide me. I do, and I ask God to help and guide me. People of God, do you promise to support these sisters and to pray for them in their life in Christ? We do, and we ask God to help and guide us. I invite you to kneel around the font, and I will individually lay hands on you and pray the same prayer that was prayed over you in your baptism. Maybe make a semicircle here. And I'm going to go behind them, and if you'll hold the binder. Not so easy in dresses, is it? Okay, well, that's okay. We don't have to kneel. We'll improvise here. We give you thanks, O God, that through water and the Holy Spirit you give us new birth, cleanse us from sin, and raise us to eternal life. Stir up in Isabel the gift of your Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the joy of the Spirit in your presence, both now and forever. Amen. Stir up in Madison the gift of your Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence, both now and forever. Amen. Stir up in Rosalie the gift of your Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence, both now and forever. Amen. Stir up in Gracie the gift of your Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence, both now and forever. Amen. These scarves are a reminder of your baptism, the promises that were made to you on that day, and the promises that you are now taking on as your own promises. These look different than the graduation-like robes that folks used to wear long ago, because your confirmation isn't the completion of a journey. Our baptism continues until we die. We spend our whole lives long living out these promises and growing more and more into the likeness of Christ every day. And so, brothers and sisters, let us rejoice with these sisters in Christ. We rejoice with you in the life of baptism. Together we will give thanks and praise to God and proclaim good news to all the world. Please join me in celebrating them with applause. And before you sit down, we're going to take the traditional confirmation picture.
With the whole people of God in Jesus Christ, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. God, our parent, you call us your children and have made us siblings through your Son, Jesus. Heal the church's many divisions, bring understanding and peace where there has been contention and strife, and unite us in one body through the love of Christ. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God, our Creator, your hands have made the heights of the mountains, the depths of the sea, and the life that animates all creation. Bring relief to areas harmed by wildfires, floods, storms, and human carelessness. Renew the face of the earth. Hear us, O God. God, our ruler, the nations rage and the kingdoms shake, but your word stands fast forever. Let your justice and peace roll down like waters wherever there is strife, injustice, war, or religious conflict, especially Israel and Gaza. Hear us, O God. God, our champion, you are our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Draw near to all who suffer, especially Bill, Paul and Carolina, Bobby and Jana, Caroline, Greg, Bonnie, Chip, Boyd, Tina, and all those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Hear us, O God. God, our reformer, you make all things new. Free us from complacency, open us to unexpected ways, and kindle zeal in us for the future. We pray for young people affirming their baptism. With them, stir in us a desire for your wisdom. Hear us, O God. God, our Savior, you made yourself known in the lives of all who have died in the hope of your grace. We give thanks for the witness of reformers like Martin Luther and for all whose example has brought us closer to you. Hear us, O God.
Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with
you. I invite you to share Christ's peace with those around you.
Let us pray together. God of all creation, you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts, that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence. In Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Lift
up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection, opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Mighty and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. This is the Lord's table. Jesus is the host. We are Christ's guests. Jesus welcomes everyone to come, to eat and be nourished, fed and forgiven. visitors and children are welcome to receive communion. Those who do not wish to receive communion are invited to cross your arms over your chest so that I'll know you prefer a blessing. Gluten-free wafers are available in this Pix, and there is grape juice in the center of each tray for those who prefer that as well. And if you are unable to come forward, remain seated and we will bring communion to you. All people are called to Christ's table. Come, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Thank you.
Please stand for the table blessing. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray together. O God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and blood of your Son.
By your Spirit,
strengthen us to serve all in need,
and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry.
Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Now let us say our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Peace. Serve the Lord.